Good evening, folks. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast, episode 17. This one is a long time coming. It is December 20th, 2019, and I haven't done a fucking episode since New Year's Eve of 2018. So, the topic for tonight is a long ago promised retrospective of the Forgotten Realms campaign set. And I'm talking the original first edition AD&D gray box set from 1987. That was available for $15, if you can believe that. Cue the Amonimorph! Also, I have observed that knowledge of our world is to be nurtured like a precious flower, for it is the most precious thing we have. Wherefore guard the word written and heed words unwritten, and set them down ere they fade. Learn then well the arts of reading, writing, and listening true, and they will lead you to the greatest art of all, understanding. Alondo of Candlekeep. Okay, now maybe I read that kind of shitty and maybe overdramatized it a little bit, but if you weren't paying attention to that little bit from the very first page of the Cyclopedia of the Realms of the Forgotten Realms box set from 1987, then you probably didn't get the Forgotten Realms. So what I'm going to do in this episode tonight, I'm going to start with an overview of what was in the box set, and then I'm going to go into a little bit about my impressions of the box set. Keep in mind, these are going to be from, you know, 30 years, almost 40 years on, and then I'll wrap up with some thoughts about my campaigns and stuff that I've done in the Forgotten Realms. So, first things first, the Forgotten Realms campaign set, the gray box set for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 1987, $15, as I had mentioned off the top. Can you believe that? $15 for a box set. $15. Today you pay like almost $50 for one of the Wizards of the Coast hardback adventures? I mean, it's nuts. Anyway, that's fucking inflation for you. The contents of the box set. We have two booklets, the DM Sourcebook of the Realms, the Cyclopedia of the Realms. We have four maps, two of which are kind of overview maps from the Moonshae Isles in the west to, I guess it's Thay in the east. And there are two blow-up maps from the Sword Coast Waterdeep region in the west to the Dragon Reach in the east. And as well as those, the two booklets and the four maps, there are also two plastic overlays, which are used on top of the maps when you're playing to help you judge distances. So those are the physical contents of the box. Of course, the covers of everything, the box set and the individual booklets by the wonderful realism / fantasy style of Keith Parkinson with an incredible amount of detail. It's very awesome. So now we'll get to the contents of the books. Just a summary. I'll get to my we'll do a bit of a deeper dive later. I hope this episode doesn't stretch on too long, but we'll see what happens. First off, I'm going to start with the Cyclopedia of the Realms rather than the DM's source book. Now, the Cyclopedia of the Realms, is 96 pages. And basically, this book is an overview of the Forgotten Realms. I guess if you want to compare it to the maps, it's the two big maps. The first five pages is kind of like an introduction We have an introduction to the Forgotten Realms, a page describing the product, and the title. Of course, there's the title page and the table of contents and the quotation and all that kind of stuff. But at any rate, 5 pages of stuff at the beginning. And then you get into a section which is about 13 pages, which talks about general high-level campaign stuff. Time in the realms, how you deal with names in the realms, and that goes by noble humans and common humans and different races and all that kind of stuff. And then you get into languages of the realms and the different alphabets and scripts and things like that, as well as currency in the realms and the conversion quantities thereof. As well, after the currencies, you get into the religions of the religion of the realms, primarily from a human standpoint, and it talks about all the major gods and gives symbols for them all, and then ends with a section which talks about other gods of the realms. We're talking different races a little bit here, and those kind of things. So that's the first 13 kind of meaty pages of the Cyclopedia of the Realms. The second section, which is the bulk of the book, is the actual Cyclopedia section itself, which really is an overview of the regions, places, races, and different power groups that exist in the Forgotten Realms. Now each of the, and they're in a sort of gazetteer style entries, which are composed primarily of a section called At a Glance, which is really commonly known information any adventurer worth his weight in salt would know or could easily find out by carousing, hanging out at a tavern, reaching out to contacts, things like that. The next section of each entry, individual entry, if I didn't make that clear, is called Elminster's Notes. And these are more specific details, and within the context of the book, it's from the pages of Elminster's notebooks and scrolls and tomes and whatnot, since he's one of the most important characters. NPC characters in the realms. So he's kind of, this section is written from the perspective of him being your guide to the realms. And the third section is called Game Information in each of the entries, and that is kind of more, not really crunchy, but a bit more supposed NPC levels, types of patrols you might find in a town, how many are in a patrol, you know, if there are cargoes or anything like that, or weird items, or trade items, the values of those, and maybe some ship stats, and just more game-relevant number type stuff. And in addition to the three sections, the At-a-Glance, the Elminster's Notes, and Game Information, in the Cyclopedia section, you have sprinkled throughout maps of the cities, towns, of the realms, and you also have a few sections which are sigils and signs and things like that, which are important for player characters to know and to learn. The final section, the very brief section, is an appendix. Of Shadowdale. Well, it's a census of a sorts of Shadowdale. And basically, it goes through the village of Shadowdale, which is, I believe, where Elminster lives, if I remember correctly. One of the more important communities in the Dragon Reach area of the Forgotten Realms. And the census talks about it's actually pretty cool. It kind of goes through the individual people and a little bit about each of them. For example, we've got like Hammerhand Bucko. He's a wagon maker and woodworker, and he took the oath, which kind of means your pledged loyalty to the local lord, So, Hammerhand Bucko, he's a wagon maker, he's a woodworker, he took the oath. He is sarcastic, intelligent, and strong. And so these are the types of things you find in this little section. What's another one here? Wergund the Trader. He's a trader, chief merchant in town. He deals in all goods, largely hardware for the Dale. He's taken the oath, and he's noted to be greedy and cowardly. So they're little juicy tidbits if you're going to adventure in the town of Shadowdale. And on the back cover of the Cyclopedia of the Realms, actually, we have, now that I look at it, I've got the book in my hand, in case you can't tell. So we've got the back cover, which actually features an adventuring company roster, I guess you could say. It's a sheet with a bunch of fields and columns, it's like a spreadsheet, really. You've got your player name, your character name, your class and level, race and sex, alignment, abilities, combat. It's a roster for player characters, something for the DM to write on to keep track of that information. It's not particularly detailed, like as far as ability scores, hit points, and oh no, it does have hit points. I stand corrected. Combat adjustments, armor class and type, hit points. Okay, it's a real basic overview. I guess some DMs are good with that. I prefer mine to be a little more detailed, but at any rate, this is on the back page of the Cyclopedia of the Realms, the first 96-page book that you get in the Forgotten Realms box set. So maybe we'll come back to some more from that later. Now we're going to move on to the second booklet in the Forgotten Realms box set, the DM's Source Book of the Realms. Now, obviously, this is kind of like the DM's guide for the Forgotten Realms. Once again, illustrated by Keith Parkinson, and this is actually a cop the same image that's on the cover of the box set. Kind of a weirdish Mongol Euro-looking guy and a horse, top of a little crest of a hill, with some strange coral-like formations all over the ground. Anyway, it's actually quite a evocative picture. Sort of a grayish, gloomy background, which you wouldn't normally typically associate with the Forgotten Realms. But anyway, I love the cover. Anyway, on to the contents. So we got, there's 5 pages of preamble stuff as well. Table of contents, title page. There's some introductions here by the principal writers and editors and stuff for the book, Ed Greenwood and Jeff Grubb and Karen Martin. And then it goes into kind of using the Forgotten Realms campaign setting. So kind of incorporating it into your AD&D game. So what we've got here is basically it talks about how you use the maps, how you handle movement and the overlays for the maps that come with the box set. It gives you some information about starting the campaign with experienced players or otherwise. Talks about how you bring characters from other worlds into the Forgotten Realms, which is kind of interesting because, I mean, this came out in 1987, so there's lots of people who've been playing in Greyhawk and other settings, Dragonlance. So maybe, they might need some information or ideas about how to, transport them across the multiverse, so to speak, which is kind of one of the premises of the Forgotten Realms, Abertorial, but maybe I'll get into that later, maybe I won't. So yeah, so then there's some other information in the section about setting up for AD&D games, adventures, like the adventuring company and how to use the roster on the back of the other book. Partly that, and I guess that, I mean, that's a big thing with the Forgotten Realms. If anybody remembers from back in the day, it's the adventuring company was kind of the thing, the main unit. We continue on in this section with using the maps. It comes with the book. Encounter tables here as well, and modifications based on different terrains. So we got some more numbery type stuff here, and that gives a brief description of different types of terrains and conditions and water movement going by, rivers and whatnot. And then we go into encounters in the realms where it's kind of gives you an example of how to create encounter tables for your own campaign, which is actually kind of neat. It doesn't list a whole bunch of encounter tables. It kind of it tells you how to make your own, essentially, if you didn't already know how to do that. I mean, I guess most experienced first edition, basic or original D&D guys already kind of know how to do that. But and then lastly in this section we have a word about dragons. Now, dragons were a big deal in the Forgotten Realms, being more of a high fantasy type setting. So, this gives you a whole section here, and I think this was in Dragon Magazine. Basically, we're talking about ages and intelligence and subdual alignment stuff with dragons, and then it also gives you some information about spellcasting abilities, saving throws, and things like that. I mean, it basically gives you the impression that dragons are a big fucking deal in the Forgotten Realms. So, that's what that section's about. Then the next major section is about 18 pages or so, and it's talking about NPCs of the realms. Basically, these are presented in alphabetical order. Now, the NPCs are something that's always been a point of contention, I guess, with the Forgotten Realms. I like this section. I mean, I like both. Anyway, I'll talk about my personal opinions later. I don't want to get into that now. So this section talks about all the major NPCs of the realms, gives you them in alphabetical order. There's some mercenary, an example mercenary company at the end who could be used as like enemies or rivals for player characters, and there's a fair amount of detail for each of these NPCs. Not a huge amount, but it kind of follows, if I remember from Dragon Magazine, maybe that was it was a bit later than this book, but there's a great article in Dragon Magazine called The Seven Sentence NPC, and most of these entries seem to kind of follow that type of trend. Now, my favorite section of the DM's Cyclopedia of the Realms comes up next, after the NPCs, and if I get to it, flipping, is recent news and rumors in the realms. And this section covers a 2 year period in the Dale Reckoning, which is kind of the default calendar for the Forgotten Realms. So this follows the years 1356 and 1357. And I remember using this section heavily when I ran campaigns in the Forgotten Realms. And it gives you recent news and rumors. So I don't know what else there is to feed a campaign with juicy bits and to get players motivated and hankering for adventure other than some good rumors. And it's like 10 pages of this stuff that covers 2 years. So this is a great section of the book, and I even have all my scribbly notes and highlights and stars and other things like that for things that I would used in my own campaign. So that's kind of cool. So after the recent news and rumors in the realms, we have a section for adventures. And now the adventures, there are two of them in the DM source book. Both of them are 8 pages. One of them was in Dragon Magazine. That's the second adventure, Lashen's Fall. I'm not going to go into any details about these adventures in case anybody may want to play them, other than I've run both of these adventures. I consider them to be meh type of adventures. The Halls of the Beast Tamers, the first one, is probably a little bit more interesting, but it depends on your taste. So, but I'm not going to get into the adventures and the details of the adventures. But you got two adventures in here. Both of them are fairly short at 8 pages, so they're good introductions. I will say there's lots of verbiage in the entries. I, looking at my copy here, I've done some extensive highlighting and noting and stuff like that in it. So that's what it is. Now, the last and perhaps the meatiest part of the section, or sorry, of the DM source book of the realms, are Books of the Forgotten Realms. And this will kind of give you a clue about, I think, what how Ed Greenwood envisioned the Forgotten Realms and how he ran his campaigns. Because it's 32 pages of this 96-page book, and it's all about books and spell books, magic tomes and spell books. So, famous ones. So you've got all kinds of stuff in here. I'm not going to go through all of them or any of them really. It's other than to say that they are immensely detailed. It takes up one third of the book. You've got some which are just talk about magical powers and abilities, and you've got other ones which are more like spell books where you have some specific new spells. Which was a big thing for the Forgotten Realms. New spells, new spells, new spells, new spells. Other than those in the player's handbooks. But it gives you an idea. It's so much flavor in here, in this section. I'll come back to that again in my impressions of the book later on. So that takes up the one last one third of the book, other than the index. And the index is for both source books. So you have 296-page source books in your Forgotten Realms box set, the Cyclopedia of the Realms, the DM source book of the realms. Now, the other things we have in here, like I mentioned earlier, are maps. So I'm just pulling mine out. Bear with me. Probably hear the noise. So I'll put those aside for now. We got the big overview maps, and then we have the narrower, more detailed maps of the Dragon Reach area and the Moon Sea. Sea of Fallen Stars to the south, and Anorak, the Great Desert, and Cormyr. So these are the area maps. And the one thing I loved about the Forgotten Realms maps, fairly bold colors. The style is neat. I mean, it's not overly detailed, these maps in any way, but they're bright and they're neat to look at. I'm not going to go through all the maps. It appears I have about 10 maps in here, so I think I've added some maps from some other sets. So I've got the larger overview maps. Let me separate these things here. I've got the larger overview maps. Yeah, there's these ones. So we got the Sword Reach area, or Sword Coast region, sorry, just a little bit south of Waterdeep, over to the High Moor and the Serpent Hills, and then into the Great Desert. Yeah, so I've got all the four original maps. But I also have some other maps here. I have two copies of maps from. This is quite interesting. Why do I have them in here? This is Damara and Narfell. This is from the Bloodstone Lands. I have two copies of the Bloodstone maps, Bloodstone Land maps, in my Forgotten Realms box set. I wonder why that is. At any rate, and actually, I have two copies of the overview. Wow, this is weird. any rate, and I also have a map of Waterdeep. Oh, sorry, this is more of a picture of Waterdeep. It's I hung it on my wall at one point because there's tape all over the corners. So this is Waterdeep City of Splendors. So I must have had the Waterdeep box set because this is kind of an illustration of the city if you're looking at it from the south. So you can see the Citadel Castle there, and then anyway, that doesn't belong in the box set, but I have it in mine. And the other thing I have in my box set, some typed notes of food, lodging and services, transportation, armor price chart, weapon price chart. So it looks like I took the weapon information and armor information from AD&D, and I've got copper pieces, bronze pieces, tin pieces. Ah, looks like I rollmastered it up. That's pretty cool. I've got a little legend at the bottom. TP-CP-BP-SP-gold pieces. So tin pieces, copper pieces, bronze pieces, silver pieces. I got an armor price chart here with the armor type. Leather, studded leather, scale mail, chain mail, banded mail, half plate, full plate, buckler, small shield, chain coif, plate helm, visored helm. with armor classes, costs, weight, production times, and notes for each of them. Like, for example, the banded mail is metal sewn to leather and chain. A chain coif is a chain hood with quilted lining, in case anybody didn't know. But that's, oh my god, yeah, this totally, I took this from Rollmaster. And for food, lodging, and services, I have rural, town, and city prices. Oh my god, I was such a geek for this stuff back in the day. Anyway, so that's but this is interesting because I've gotten a little photocopied Forgotten Realms logo at the top, and then I've taped it onto these typed sheets, like out of a typewriter. So I totally did this. Like, we're talking real back in, like, 1987 stuff. No, I had computer then. I had an Atari ST, but for some reason I did this on a good old-fashioned typewriter. Anyway, there's a little artifact treasure from my days back in the 80s. So, yeah, so that's kind of an overview and some stuff about the Forgotten Realms box set. Now we've also got the overlays, which I didn't really mention these, but there's not too much to talk about. They're hex overlays, and they go in the large scale or the smaller scale maps. So those are the contents of the Forgotten Realms box set, for those of you who are still listening and haven't given up on me. So now I'm going to move on and talk about kind of my impressions and what I did with the Forgotten Realms back in the day. So my impressions of the Forgotten Realms box set. Now keep in mind this is with a lot of decades of hindsight. So I may not have thought this entirely at the time, but this is what I think now. The Forgotten Realms box set is very much in the tradition of the World of Greyhawk box set. Now that one I had came out in 83. I don't think I got it in 83. I might have had it the next year or something later. A couple years later maybe. But it's very much in that tradition. There are minimal to no stats. It's not really a game manual in that sense. It's packed with flavor and immersive detail. And unlike the Dragonlance Adventures hardback, which came out the same year as the Forgotten Realms box set, if I remember correctly, and Dragonlance was kind of the kind of like the second TSR game setting. I mean, there were the adventures, and I know Forgotten Realms had a pages from the mages and stuff, and Dragon Magazine, and Ed Greenwood had written a bunch of stuff for there. But I think the for the Dragonlance hardcover came out before the box set for Forgotten Realms. Maybe I'm wrong, but at any rate, this setting is unlike Dragonlance Adventures, the book, which is feels more like a stat book in a number crunchy thing, which is a bit kind of ironic considering the kind of meta plot story oriented nature of the Dragonlance modules. But at any rate, the Forgotten Realms got into that, but I'll get into that a little bit later. My other main sort of impression from this box set, and it's in the introduction by Ed Greenwood, and it's all the vibe I got throughout the books in the box set, is that this is a set that allows you to make the realms your own. Now, there's two 96-page booklets in it, so that kind of seems contradictory with making it your own. That's a lot of information. But there's nothing really in the book that forces you to want to use it. I mean, it's all kind of there for you to use if you want it, but you're encouraged to pretty much make up your own adventures. They give you two sample adventures in here, kind of give you a bit of a guide on the religion and all that kind of stuff, and it fills out a whole box set. But I never got the impression from this box set that I was being shoehorned into a world. I felt like I was given large glimpses, wide glimpses, perhaps is a better way to look at it, at things within the world that you could pick and choose from and make your own campaign. One thing with the Forgotten Realms that came about was that there's lots of powerful NPCs. Well, I shouldn't say there's lots of powerful NPCs. There's actually only a handful of NPCs listed in the DM's source book, which are high level, and they're the major movers and shakers of the globe, basically. So that's kind of understandable. Now, it's really only the realms have always been criticized as being meta plot heavy, and why would you want to adventure in there? There's so many more important NPCs who always steal the show and all that kind of stuff. I've always thought those are very poor criticisms of the Forgotten Realms, particularly this box set. Later on in the second edition, things kind of got a little bit screwy with the Forgotten Realms, and to be honest, I stopped paying attention to them, as probably did most people who were interested in the first edition box set and who played with it. Now, with the powerful NPCs in the Forgotten Realms, that's really dependent on how the DM uses them. Bad DMs will use them to overshadow the player characters and emphasize the meta plot and whatever other kind of crap you want to say like that. Good DMs will actually use the NPCs to inspire the player characters. I mean, that's how I tried to use them. I don't say I'm not a great DM or anything like that, but it's always seemed obvious to me that you've got these some high-level NPCs in this book. You can't be throwing them into adventures and bailing the player characters out. That's not what they're there for. They're there for inspiration and guidance and, to inspire the player characters and make the world seem like a place that's lived in and has important people in it, and stuff has happened. When stuff happens in a world, people generally do that stuff, and those are going to be the important people. So that's what I always got from the NPCs. Not sort of that they were meant to dominate the campaign or anything like that. Now, the other cool thing with the Forgotten Realms campaign set, there's no fucking monsters in here. It's not a monster manual. Now, a lot of people who are old school are going to be going, "What? No fucking monsters? That's stupid." But what it actually said to me at the time, and remember, this is with a little bit of hindsight. Maybe I didn't realize that at the time, but I certainly realize it now. That led me to focus in other areas. Like, there's 32 pages of magic books and spell books in the Forgotten Realms box set. there's a couple of pages on how dragons are different. So that gives you a little bit of understanding into, I think, what Ed Greenwood's flavor was and how he ran the Forgotten Realms and what the realms were kind of about for him. You know, now maybe that's not for everybody. Maybe, you know, obviously they came out with, in second edition in particular, they came out with monstrous compendiums and things like that, which had all kinds of fucking monsters in them. But the first box set, which is what I'm focusing on, there's no fucking monsters in there. And that's kind of different. And that was different, and that's kind of unique. Now, the other thing that strikes me, the other thing that impresses me about this box set is it, and this ties in with the monster thing, it's really about the characters, people, and exploration. That's what the Forgotten Realms were about in the first box set. It's, admittedly, it's kind of a fantastical yet very vanilla medieval high fantasy setting. More, it's more Tolkien-esque than it is, certainly, than, you know, like Conan, you know, or any kind of swords and sorcery type setting. But that's, you know, that's what it was. That's what was unique about it, is it was kind of like Tolkien-ish, but not Tolkien-ish. And obviously, the Forgotten Realms took inspiration from Greyhawk a little bit. I mean, Ned Greenwood talks in the introduction about how this started in 1968, and he wrote short stories, and then once D&D came out, he kind of adapted the setting and to each rule set as it came out, and all that kind of jazz, right? But basically, it's a very Tolkien-esque vanilla fantasy kind of setting with some little bits of weird stuff like Greyhawk, but not too much. It's really, well, Greyhawk's more sword and sorcery inspired, sword and sorcery inspired in a way, but not that much. But anyway, I'm starting to ramble now. But I guess my kind of final thoughts about this, my campaigns that I ran in the Forgotten Realms, my first one was from when I got the box set, really. I don't remember if I got it in the end of 87 or early 88, probably the end of 87, because I know I read it and mulched over it for a while before I ran a campaign, which ran for about 3 years, so I guess 88 to 90 maybe. And I had three main player characters in that campaign. There was, if I remember the names, Beleg Strongbow. I guess the kind of name stolen from Tolkien there. He was a human fighter magic user, or a half-elf fighter magic user maybe, something like that. And then there was Onas the Pious, I think, and he was a human cleric. I don't remember which god. And then there was Laelina Abelfingers, who was a human thief. Then these three main characters had all kinds of adventures. I mean, I ran them, I transitioned them from my basic expert slash AD&D campaign into second edition AD&D, and that's what where the Forgotten Realms were for me, which was the transition period. So early on, early 80s, I ran Basic and Expert and did that for years and years and years, picking and choosing from Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. And then in 87, I got the Forgotten Realms box set and I incorporated more Advanced Dungeons and Dragons-y type stuff. And then switched in, I guess, 89 when second edition AD&D came out. But those were all original adventures. I did them, created them all myself. I might have used a couple of AD&D modules, like maybe the Slaver series, that's ringing a bell for me that I ran in that campaign. But once we switched to second edition D&D, we used some of the modules for the Forgotten Realms, like Curse of the Azurbonds, I think was one of them. And I don't think we ran the Time of Troubles modules. That's when I started to things started to fall apart for me, Forgotten Realms. I think I might have ran Tantris, one of them. That might have been the second module, or I used bits and pieces from it anyway. But the story, Time of Troubles type stuff that happened in with the second edition Forgotten Realms stuff, right around that 89, 1990 period. That was when it changed for me. the Forgotten Realms, and it became really popular and much more story meta plot driven, and for me, kind of more boring because it wasn't my Forgotten Realms anymore, I guess. But kind of my retrospective here on the AD&D Forgotten Realms box set. So I've rambled on for quite a long time. I hope it's not too boring for everybody, but yeah, I promised I would do this a while ago, and I've finally gotten around to do it. Yeah, feel free to call in and let me know if anybody still listens to this podcast. It's been almost a year since I've done anything, but you know, we had our second kid in January of 2019, so it's been a long year with not a lot of sleep, but a lot of good times raising kids. Anyway, Forgotten Realms box set. There you go. I think I'll play some more music. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.